You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. He's speaking to us from Gulf Shores, Alabama. Welcome back to the show, Tim.
Jim, thanks for having me.
Tim, President Trump has been highly critical of Fed Chair Jerome Powell, a man he appointed. He's used terms like moron, stupid, and incompetent to describe Powell. And he says, to be honest, he'd love to fire his ass. Fire his ass is a direct quote. Now, he plans to appoint a new person, Kevin Warsh, to be the new chair of the Fed. Is that going to change? Will we see interest rates fall rapidly once Warsh is in the Fed chair?
Interest rate, how do I answer this? Interest rate policy is not going to change. And we've talked about this a little bit. This is theater. It's a blame game. I have to go back to this being, and I know this sounds like a broken record, but people that are reading the research get it, and people who are not, well, they're just in the, not going to understand it, I guess. But we're sitting at the top of this sixth long-term economic cycle, and we've seen three attempted downturns. We saw the downturn in 07, we saw the downturn in 2020, and now we're setting up for the third. This is all part of the blame game for what's coming, and it's theater, it's show. This has been, as we've talked about in I think numerous times, this has been the most aggressive, in spite of what anybody wants to think, this has been the most aggressive rate cutting cycle in history. I say in history, going back to my data goes back into the 1950s, the most aggressive rate cutting cycle since the 1950s. And that's based on a Fed model that I have that has worked flawlessly since the 1950s with the rate cut, hiking, and cutting cycles. And it's revealed, I've followed it for years and have covered it with this entire rate hiking cycle that began back in 21, 22, 23 up to the plateau period and then following it as they stair-step down. This has been the most aggressive rate cutting cycle in that 70-year period. So what we're hearing from Trump, it's just political theater. It's the political football, as they say. And I'm sure, I don't know what the angle is. I don't know. I'm not in their head. But I can see enough to see that it is the blame game, probably to point the finger to Powell or whoever, because they didn't cut interest rates soon enough. When the bubble burst, they always want to have somebody else that they can blame rather than the reality of what's going on. So it doesn't matter if Jim Goddard was in there, the policy is going to be the same. There's somebody else besides Jerome Powell and the Fed governors is making the decisions, and Donald Trump is not making the decisions of who he's appointing. And you know, it's all political theater and bullshit, and it doesn't matter.
So you got to have a monkey in there. It's not going to help.
It's not going to help. It's going to be what it's going to be.
Once the stock market starts to correct, there's nothing that's going to stop it.
Well, the question is, Jim, they have masterfully saved it from the fifth long-term, the downturn out of the fifth long-term economic cycle in 2020 and into that, you know, 2022-23 time period, you know, following the dot-com bursting of the dot-com bubble. And we've talked about this too. They fabricated through Fed policy and monetary policy manipulation, liquidity, however you want to say it. They have fabricated this entire six long-term economic cycle, so they're masters at what they do. And like I said, we had the first attempted downturn out of this cycle in 07. We had the second attempted downturn in 2020. Each of those were saved. So can they save it again? Well, perhaps. But I'll say this, it's going to be mighty hard to save it this time. And so I think they see the handwriting on the wall, and I think, again, this goes back to just a political theater.
See if tap dancing on the guardrails on the Titanic can keep it from going down this time.
Right.
So it's going to take some kind of super terrific maneuvering behind the scenes. I mean, we've seen the U.S. government already do things like invest in Intel, which is something the U.S. government traditionally wouldn't do. And in the past, someone would have said that's even communist for the U.S. government to start investing directly in companies.
Well, what happens, Jim? Yes, but what happens, and I don't have my charts in front of me. Again, this is material I've covered and update periodically in the research letters. But what happens after every little, each one of these periods we've talked about, and even some of the less significant downturns throughout history, you see an increase in the expansion of federal debt. This system, the debt-based, fiat debt-based system, is dependent on the constant expansion of debt. And I don't even know where to begin with this, but you know, all the way back to the 1974 bear market that led us into the times of the 80s and up into the 2000 top, you know, there was an expansion, a slow expansion of debt, and then we decline in the 02 low, and then you see them step on the gas, and it took more that time, as far as when I say step on the gas of the debt, the rate of the debt expansion, it took more that time to save it than it did, you know, in previous times. And then we get into the 07, 08, 09 crisis, the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression, they dubbed it, and it spikes even higher. It takes even more debt expansion. And then things kind of get on its feet, and they'll let off a little bit, and the economy kind of coasts a little bit, and then the crisis will come, and then it takes even more. That's why this curve has gone exponential, because each time it takes more and more and more and more. And as of right now, we saw the spike with this expansion of debt, in you know, coming out of the 2020 low up into, I think it spiked in like 21. We saw the final spike with the rate of change, and then this time, you know, we have, as they've kind of let off, we are plateauing at a rate that is above the spike from the 09 crisis. So it stair steps up at an exponential rate, and so can they save it again? I don't know, but it's going to take an enormous amount of debt creation to do so, and then the inflationary effect of that. That's why prices have gone up steadily on everything from, you know, the food costs, home costs, I mean everything. That's why gold has gone up. So everything, it is, you know, it's inflationary when you have that kind of injection of debt into the system. That's what the system, by definition, the fiat debt-based system requires, that constant fueling of debt, and that is what's kept this thing going. And we're at a point where this next downturn is going to take even more. And that's the question: can they save it? Well, hell, I don't know, and neither do they. I don't think. I mean, it's like, oh, we got lucky and we saved it that time, and they do it again and again and again. But at some point, it's not going to work. And I'm saying that we're at such an extreme here that I have my doubts if it's going to be able to save it again. If they're going to be able to save it again, but they're going to be tested with that, because that setup is coming. It is coming. It is coming. I know we've been talking about it. It is coming. And it's just a matter of, you know, the structure of the market and it biting and things setting up and then, you know, and it's starting. You know, we need there's some things, some boxes we need to see checked to say that it's happening or that it's begun. And we haven't seen that. but we are in the setup phase, and we have been in that setup phase, but we haven't checked the boxes to say it's begun just yet.
Mm. Now the stock markets during the month of January, up, down, up, down, up, down, choppy. And there's a theory that what you see in January predicts what's going to be the story for the stock market for the whole year. So is that going to be the story? Up, down, up, down, up, down, with no particular general direction?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I think we're trying to set up here. And as far as that theory goes, I'm familiar with it. And I did some studies on that a long time ago. And I don't even remember. I think I vaguely remember the conclusion, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But as far as the month, yes, it's been a whipsaw, but we did close the month up. So as far as that theory goes, it would suggest that, you know, I forget what the saying is exactly, but as goes January, so goes the rest of the year or something like that. But that's not always the case. It's generally the case, but it's not always the case. There are exceptions to that, and that's actually some pretty shallow analysis when you look at it. The reason that has been, you know, kind of a rule of thumb is because, as a rule, the market is always, you know, it will have a decline like 2020, but then it's always been saved. It's always going up, and so, kind of by default, that rule of thumb tends to work, but I wouldn't hang my hat on it in all instances, and I think this year may be one of those exceptions.
We'll take a look at gold losing some of its shine right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cyclesman Wood. Tim, gold has been losing large chunks of its value lately. What's the story there?
Well, gold has been up. You know, we had a 9-year cycle low back in 2021. We talked about that. And gold has been up. You know, the general direction has been up ever since. And, you know, we've had some intermediate term, you know, corrective declines, but nothing of substance. And one reason that gold has been up, if you go back in time, we talked about the debt. We talked about how that debt creation is inflationary, and how it really started back in 2000. Or 2002, following the decline out of the bursting of the dot-com bubble. And so if you look back at gold, during that same period, I think gold, 99 or 2000, I think it hit a low of $252 an ounce, if I remember right, in that time frame. And it has exploded. It's gone in lockstep higher as we have seen this continuous expansion of debt and the saving of the system and the creation of more and more inflation. So it's been a function of that inflation. And I know it is counterintuitive to say, but these downturns out of these long-term economic cycles, once they happen, they're deflationary. And that's just a matter of history. It's a historical fact. And I think that what we're seeing here with gold, you know, my expectation has been that it was, you know, I see it in the context that it's in, that we have this, it's been extremely stretched, and we're moving up into this 9-year cycle top. But I've also, within that context, have understood and said that I think it's setting up for this downturn out of this long-term economic cycle. And so what we may be seeing here is a little bit of a warning, maybe, that we're setting up for that downturn. And once it bites, and I'm not saying it has yet, but once this downturn bites, then, as I have said all along, I think pretty much because it's going to be deflationary, then I think all asset classes go down together. And when this inflationary effect, when it can't be saved anymore, and even if it can be saved, there's going to be that shock just like in 07 to 08, 09, and just like in 2020, and just like in 2000, there's going to be that downturn. It's going to be that attempted downturn out of this long-term cycle. And even if all we get is an attempted downturn that is saved again, that attempted downturn is still going to be deflationary. Now, if the question is, if it can't be saved again, then it's going to be damned deflationary. And so the question is, you know, what is gold seeing here? Is it, you know, whichever, if, whether it be deflationary or damn deflationary, I think what we're seeing here is a warning that we're trying to see that set up for that attempted downturn. That's how I read that. It's kind of a canary in a coal mine.
Now, Bitcoin, I don't know if you follow it or not, but talk about massive losses going from around 124,000 down into the 60s.
Yes, and that's part of it. That's part of it. You know, I don't cover it. I've watched it. I talk with a few of my subscribers that I'm in touch with. We talk about it. But yes, this is also part of, I think, the overall setup, the deflationary effect that is slowly trying to take hold. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So is it another canary in the coal mine? We have a lot of canaries right now kind of staggering around.
Yes, exactly.
Tim, is there any other indicator you keep a close watch on where you say, uh-oh, this is another indicator that things may be ready to tip over?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff I watch, you know, that I cover all that in the research letters. You know, I look at, you know, what's going on with interest rates, of course. I look at, you know, Dow theory. I look at a lot of things. I look at the structure of the market itself, and that gets into some complicated stuff with the cycles of various degrees. So, but yes, it's been walking, lack of better words, it's been walking a razor's edge. And we're trying, you know, we've been for really since last, well, it kind of started last April, but then that was really just a corrective move, obviously, into a longer term cycle low. But then really since I would say October, November, we have been trying to set up again for another turn. It just hasn't quite taken hold, and I don't know if it will. Again, there's boxes that I have to see checked, and I'm monitoring that as we go. And then once they're checked, then we'll have a toehold for something bigger to take hold. And then the question becomes, again, can it be saved again from that point? And, you know, we don't know the answer to that. I don't think anybody knows the answer to that. But it's that setup I'm looking for. And I'm not trying to not give you an answer. It's just if you're not looking at the material, it's hard to understand what I'm saying. But there are things I need to see to say that we've rounded the curve, if you will. And while I know we're in the ballpark, I can't say that we've rounded the curve.
I know I always ask this question, in a downturn, any safe havens?
I think, contrary again to popular belief, and I'm not giving financial advice under no circumstances, but I think that what we're going to see is the dollar is making, it looked like that we had made the four-year cycle low in the dollar back in September. It's proven that we've undercut that low. The dollar likes to retest. It's kind of a signature marker of the dollar at these longer-term cycle lows. It likes to retest that low. And I think what we've seen is a retest of the four-year low. So I think the dollar is trying to bottom. So I think the dollar itself, the dollar is going to move up as this deflationary effect takes hold. And then the other thing, short-term interest rates. The long end is a little bit disconnected for now, but then I think short-term interest rates are going to be down, so therefore the short-term instruments, the T-bills, they should be moving higher as those interest rates move down and you know, once this takes hold. So that should be an ongoing trend, which is what we're seeing and been seeing since the rate-cutting cycle began. So I think that's going to continue.
Tim, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
That's pretty much it. that's pretty much it. I mean, we're like you said, with the price action in January, this it's been like a yo-yo, up one day, down the next, up, down, just bouncing back and forth. It's like, you know, this whipsaw action. It's like the bear doing the dance with the bull, you know, the bull-bear dance. It's trying to take hold, trying to turn here potentially, but nothing has bitten yet. So, you know, I'm covering it again, not to sound like a broken record. I got to see it when I see it, and all I can say is we're walking the edge, and I need to see the boxes checked.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you for having me.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. If you have any question for Tim or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.